this is Sugandhi Iyer for the Good Fortune Show. Welcome back. How is everybody doing? And is everybody continuing on their journey to good fortune? Really, that's what it is all about. It's all about your journey to good fortune. And what else? What else, right? I mean, if you really think about it, what else is important? Think of all the politicians. So maybe they're successful in some way. In some way, they're successful. Maybe they got some positions in life. But are they really in good fortune? Would that really end up as good fortune for them? So it is up to each person to judge what is good fortune. I was watching this video of this person, and he is in Dominican Republic. He's talking about this apartment that he got. It's actually a house, and it's three bedrooms, living room, kitchen, all of the things. And he says he gets it for 250 USD a month. He gives a tour of his house and he shows people what you can get for 250 US dollars in DR. And somebody wrote to him and said, "It looks like you are in survival mode living like this." So this person, this YouTuber said, and I think he's originally from a Western country, and he said, it's not that I'm in survival mode, because for $250, can you really get this house in the US? Now, if you really think about it, it's perspective. It's all perspective. Of course, for a house like that in the US, you might have to shell out, even if it's not such a greatly, furnished house, but you would have to shell out at least $1,500. $1,500. And if it's in a very good condition, it could be anywhere from $2,000, $2,500. So it's a case of perspective. Or maybe, okay, if you go really, really simple, you might get a house like that for $1,000. But the higher you go, it starts going upwards of 2,000. And California is obviously going to be way more expensive, especially the Bay Area. It's going to be way more expensive. So it's a case of perspective and what people think is good fortune. So somebody living in a place that is crowded, but paying top dollar, proud that he can pay top dollar, may not actually be in a very good condition compared to somebody who could be paying less, but is living in a less crowded area, maybe more village. Again, it's a case of perspective. And to each his own. What a person feels is his good fortune. So, talking of good fortune, if you really think about your mind and how your mind thinks, is your mind in a place where it thinks that it has good fortune? So, if it does think that way, then it can interpret things in a way that immediately takes you into a feeling of being blessed. So for somebody paying 250 USD and living in Dominican Republic is going to be, maybe they don't consider it good fortune because they think it's going down in life. And I'm sure there are more expensive habitation in DR, but you're just saying in this case. But for somebody else, having shaved off $1,000 to $1,700 of his home bill, and that too, not living in Bay Area and places like that. Very simple. For him, that's good fortune. For him, having found this alternate life is good fortune. It's perspective. Think of all the impeachments going on. Presidents being impeached, left, right, and center. Now, is it really good fortune then to become the president? Is it? Ultimately, people want to be able to eat well, sleep well, wake up happy, go on small adventures, breathe fresh air, be able to see a rising sun, a setting sun, spend time with family, all of these things. So then, is it good fortune to become a president and then get impeached? Because that seems to be in fashion. So then, what is good fortune? Right, it's all up to us, correct? We create our good fortune and we create what is good fortune for us. Now, a very good rule of thumb, a very good way to look at things is, if a person really wants to ensure that he has peace of mind and is happy, but at the same time he feels that he's moving forward, a very good way to do this is to do it in small bits, meaning that first, find out if you're fine. Find out if you're fine. Oh, I feel good. I feel good. I feel that I'm fine. Everything in my life is working well. And yay, I'm not getting impeached. That's just a joke, a bad one though. So, first, find out if you're fine. Are we fine? Is our life okay? Do we have what it takes to eat properly, sleep properly, wake up properly, be clean, of course? And then from that, if you feel that you're fine and you have peace of mind and all is right with your world, then climb up a step or two. Put a little bit of effort behind climbing or a bit of power and climb up a bit, then take rest. Take rest. Re-evaluate your situation. Check to see if you still attract peace of mind, happiness, well-being, and all is well. And then when you feel, okay, even after the short burst of energy that we put out and we climbed a bit, we're still fine. We are still fine. I am still fine. My family is still fine. Then take another step or two. Climb a bit more. This is, and then of course, you know, take a break, not take a break, but reevaluate. See if you're fine again. And if everything's fine, take a couple more steps, so on and so forth. Your climb can be gradual. It can be fast because you can reevaluate your situations fast You can climb fast too. It doesn't mean that it has to take a whole bunch of time. But definitely you can see if your situation is still fine. And once you feel that, okay, I am fine, we are fine, my family is fine, we are happy, we are at peace, all is right with the world. Then another climb, a short burst of energy, another progressive climb up the ladder, two steps, then again, re-evaluate, breathe while you're doing that. And I don't mean meditate, but I just mean take a breather. Of course, everybody, you know, it's your choice whether to meditate or not, but take a breather, re-evaluate, see if everything's fine, if all's right with the world. There are no legal situations coming at fictitious Jane. Like, she's still in good place, in a good space, in good fortune energy. Then start a climb again. Instead of a mad rush. Because when people get into a mad rush and it's push, 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 climb, 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 and no time is taken to evaluate one space, one's physical space, one's energy space, and to see if all is well. If no time is taken for that, and if someone just keeps going on a regular go, 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 push, 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 you know those people who do that? And then because they're in so much push energy, they start to attract all kinds of things. Because they enter a kind of a energy stream which is very high powered, charged with power. But it's a kind of a mad power. It's not a good power. It's not a place where happiness, sunflowers, rose petals, sea breeze, calm, soothing. It's not a place where all of this happens, but it's a place where there is a crazy energy filled with power. Yes, you can come across many powerful people in this particular energy space. And they're all busy associating with each other, doing things to each other, trying to see who is more intelligent and who's going to win. But in that space, one can attract negativity too, because it's a crazy place that can be filled with people who are so competitive and revengeful. All of this crazy energy that comes at people. So, a good way to climb is to always monitor one's space. See that everything's fine. Take a breather. Look around. Oh, all is fine. All is well. I'm fine. There's nothing negative coming at me. And then, after this evaluation or re-evaluation, start to climb. A couple of steps could be delicate steps, tentative steps, and then maybe some confident steps, but a couple of them. Two, three, break again. Take a breather. It doesn't mean you have to stop working, but you're out of that climbing energy. You know, the climb where some people, they just put in 24 hours of work. 24 hours of work with a very short break. To sleep, minimal sleep. Because if They're putting out so much energy. They just want to win. But then they're also in this crazy energy. Whether me, they need similar-minded people. And now we're not going into good people or bad people. We're just talking of people on this climb. And they will push everything out of their way, and keep climbing. I saw this YouTube about this family, supposedly Indian family, who got maybe racially ill-treated on some United flight. I think after they were in the bus, during the bus by some person who is said to be American. And it's become a big news item. What I'm saying is, what are you trying to prove? That now what, people are racially abusing Indians? Like, isn't everybody human, and doesn't everybody have an off day where a person could be in a bad mood and may have said something a bit rude, and then does everybody need to pile on and then make it a big issue? And now start this whole racial issue. So, what is the point of all of this? Can't you forget and move on? And maybe she was in a bad mood and she said something, but you have to get into a fight with somebody who is elderly. Maybe she was having a bad day, maybe she was restless, and she was rude to a child. But do you have to jump on that bandwagon and then start making it into a huge fight, and then it gets you're this, you're that, and then you give it the label of racial? But do you see what people do? People want to create trouble. They don't want to walk away from trouble. They don't want to put it down to somebody having a bad day. Let's just walk away. Okay, I'm so sorry that my child created some fuss or disharmony. It's okay to apologize. It's okay to walk away. Everybody doesn't have to pursue this fight, and then it's now a big issue on news. And this is how people create trouble between people. And so I don't see it as racial at all, personally. I just see it as people who just pursued an argument till it got racial. But again, whether it is or not, it's okay to walk away. Because then comes victimization. And then comes all of these things with it. And then comes differences. Because now we are broadcasting. And I can say again, Americans are amazing. And I've always had a great experience wherever I go. It's amazing. It's amazing. And it all also depends on what kind of crazy energy are we in. Remember I said about being in a go, go, go energy, and then meeting similar people who are going to be in that energy. And then it just creates this whole, I think, frazzled feeling. It can create feverishness, competitiveness, and many other things. And so then somebody has to go back to their drawing board and look at it and see if, oh my God, are we in the right energy space? Did we lose sight of home when we set off on this crazy climb to victory? So it's a climb to victory, but lacking good fortune. There could be success monetarily and in power too. But then there could be other negative factors which are attracted. Like I said, legal cases, then being in the public eye for the wrong reasons, like this particular case. Is this why a person needs to get famous? Oh, I was racially attacked. Yeah, bring it to the rest of the world so the whole world can hate everybody. And then, what is it that everybody's trying to create? And how is that good fortune in any way? So, whichever side a person is on, and I'm not on any side, I'm just saying, why pursue a fight till it gets racial? Even if it's rude to start with, and maybe someone should not have been rude, but why can't a person walk away and not pursue that fight? Walk away. I mean, victory is for those who ultimately feel good at the end of the day, and they don't feel bad about themselves, or they've not made somebody else feel bad, but at least not feel bad about oneself. And so, a very good way, after seeing this and after seeing all these presidential impeachments, I mean, it just didn't stop with Donald Trump. It's just going on and on with all kinds of people. What's going on? Is this all good fortune? I hope not, because I don't think gods and goddesses are sitting and planning people's impeachments. They personally don't care. And another thing I wanted to say, I watched this short video. And no, it was not a video. This is a movie, and I saw part of it. And the part that I saw was about this man who, father, who has his daughter, maybe between the ages of 5 and 9, or maybe 4 and 9, maybe. And he's hiding from somebody, trying to sleep on the beach. Obviously has no money. And then, because they're sent off the beach because they're not allowed to sleep there, he takes a room in one of the dingiest hotels, dingy, where the walls are paper thin. And it's a room where men bring women. And things could be heard. And his daughter was being subjected to that. So obviously he starts to talk in a very loud voice to make up for that. And while they're in that hotel, it's really dingy, dirty, smelly. And all of these things are happening. And what this man has told his daughter is, because his daughter's wondering how come they're like that on the beach and not in their awesome home. They had a beautiful home. They were in a good space before. And something happened, which I didn't see. And they're now searching for the rest of their family. And they're meanwhile, they're out like this. And so what this father tells this daughter is, in order to make up for the fact that they don't have a home now. So he wants his daughter to feel okay, but not having a home. So he tells her, God is with poor people and not with people who have abundance. God is only with poor people. So he wants to try to tell her, his daughter, in order to make up for the fact that they suddenly lost everything, that God is only with poor people. So trying to say as if material possessions don't matter, and God is only with the poor and poverty. So the next thing his daughter says is, my God certainly likes to live in dirty places and smelly places. God likes dirt and smell. Wow. See, the way we present God should not be to our temporary convenience. Just to make something seem okay to a child. God is with poor people. So basically, he said, God is hiding people's houses and is with poor people and in poverty. Trying to make the child feel okay about being like this for now. And then she concludes, God likes to live in dirt, in dirty and smelly places. Wow. This is completely the opposite of abundance. Completely the opposite of abundance. God does not like smelly places or dirty places. God did not create the skies, the hills, the trees, the vast oceans, beaches, lakes, rivers, flowers, and all of these places, dirty. Dirt is different from dirty. That's mud. That's, you know, the mud on mountains and hills and sand. That's not dirt. It's people who made it dirty. So to misrepresent God as being anything other than abundance is to put incorrect connections in a child's mind. And this is not what a person's supposed to assume, meaning that people are not supposed to assume that the world is filled with rude people, or the world is filled with people who are racial and people who don't like this and who don't like people who are dark or white or any other color, or that God favors negativity and poverty and dirt, dirty dirt. And that is not God's world. And we're talking of God as in whatever religion a person comes from, but the all, the beautiful creator of it all, it's all not just an accident. But either way, even if a person doesn't believe in God, there's no point painting a bad picture of God. And then recently, this very famous actress who does not come from our culture, but she said, and I think she means all places of worship, she said, don't give money to temples. And if you do, no, what she said is give as much as you give to temples. Give it to hospitals and other charitable places. Give the same. But the question is that why compare or why tie up a person's charitable contributions to one segment with one's religious or spiritual contributions? There is no need to do that. I mean, people who want to give here, if you want to encourage more charity towards, you know, places that need, like public schools or development and all of this, that's different. But you don't have to tie a person's religious contributions to this. Basically, people who go down the spiritual path and who want to give to spiritual reasons and spiritual situation, they're on a very different quest. They're seeking God. They're trying to get into connection with that magic, with the miracles, where life is beyond survival. And so if you tie it back to the person in DR, where he said he got a $250 house, three-bedroom house, which would cost at least $1,000 more in the US. For him, that could be a kind of a miracle. It could be something he considers as good fortune. So when somebody comes out of all of this competitiveness, comes out of it, and is able to come into true spirituality, and what he thinks that good fortune is for him. Good fortune could be being able to see some beautiful trees. And it could be about watching birds and spotting colorful birds and everything that basically tickles one's mind and imagination. That makes one feel good about life. That is good fortune. That is good fortune, but good fortune should be free of negatives. Good fortune is not about becoming a president and then getting fearful about getting impeached, because that seems to be in fashion anyway. Good fortune is not about a mad rush for power. Where in this extremely frazzled energy, I call it frazzled energy, one can only meet other frazzled people, other power-hungry people, other people who would do anything to win. And then in that frazzled energy, there is a great chance of also having or attracting arrows at oneself. And in a past show, I had said throw arrows at each other. It's another word, S-H-O-O-T. That's the word to be used. But, you know, you can shower arrows at each other or on each other. And then you've got the S-H-O-O-T arrows. I use the word throw, like throwing stones. But it's a milder word and it's not English-wise completely accurate, but it's a milder word to say throw. And plus, I'm not so, I don't think of weapons all the time. I actually never think of them. Maybe a scissor or two or a knife or two when we're cutting vegetables or cutting something for some artwork, or that's it. And there are people who think in terms of weapons all the time, and the way that people use their words also matters. It kind of attracts energy. Words are powerful. And when one puts out a word, it has its vibration and it goes into space and attracts like situations to it. And you know, of course, you know, before we continue, I just want to take a couple of minutes break. And we're going to listen to some instrumental music. So don't go away. I'm hoping you're going to be there when I come back. So hold on tight. course, it's on the ire for the good fortune show. Welcome back. So a very important point today is about making sure that when one is on the climb towards good fortune, one's good fortune, towards success, that one is not attracting people of a very competitive nature and who basically people trying to outdo each other. And as we don't attract that, as we are in a good place, as we take stock of the situation that we're in, as we take stock of that and we first say, okay, you know what? I climbed a step or two. So first we find out if we're okay, everything is okay, all's fine with the world. And then we climb a step or two, and we need to use a bit of power for that if needed. But then we don't go all out on this very power-driven climb. We don't go all out on that. We climb a step or two, three steps maybe, reevaluate our space. Are we okay? Then we ensure that all is calm, that the energies around us are calm, they're peaceful, everybody's fine, and then continue the climb. Breather, space check, all is fine, climb. Breather, space check, all is fine, climb. Such a climb where it takes into account our space from time to time. You know, every few steps, we're checking if you're still attracting good fortune. Because success, pure success, may not mean complete good fortune. It can bring with it many things that people don't want. It's like having breathing contaminated air. I mean, there's air, plenty of it, but not of the best quality. So our climb should not be contaminated by pollutants, because there are other people living in that jungle. And this is a human jungle, far worse than the jungles in which animals are. Even these animals, you know, remember I said we go through these jungles, there is a road which is very safe, of course, but you're not supposed to get out of your car, basically. You can't stop there and, you know, not more than a couple of seconds, and you're not supposed to be getting out of your car. But even then, all the tigers and leopards, wolves, bison, they're all deep. They're not coming where humans are. They're smarter. They like their peace. They like their environment. And they're not coming where humans are. So the elephants and monkeys and deers, they do that. They come out and they're socializing, the elephant with its baby elephant, and monkeys, plenty of monkeys, so naughty. They're so naughty. They're chasing each other, sitting on the side and watching and hoping somebody throws something at them. So the elephants, the monkeys, and the deers, they like to hang out on the edges also. But the real wild animals, the real ones, they're inside and they're not coming where humans are. So if these animals can respect and can know that it's not good to be where there are people hanging around and where there are vehicles passing, not too many, just a few, but still, if they know that, And even the elephants and all, they're not exactly socializing. They're in the edges, and the deer, they're doing their own thing. And they know how to take off. And elephants are not scared. So if they know that, then why is it that people don't understand that when they get into these frazzled situations, when they get into these energies where there are like people who are equally, if not more competitive, power driven, power hungry, very, very political people hanging out in these energies, all ready to impeach and pull people into court. When animals know how to stay away, whatever they do in their own world, then why is it that people don't know that they shouldn't be hanging out in these frazzled energy lines, energy passages? To the path of success. The path of success does not have to necessarily be fraught with drama. And these are high-stake dramas. I mean, very, very high-level drama that nobody really wants to encounter or come across in their normal lives. Very high-level drama going on. And to handle that kind of drama, one has to be made of God knows what. But still, does somebody want that drama? And isn't there a better path to success? Where one can have one's peace and have it too? What is it? Have your cake? No. Eat your cake and have it too. So have peace and success at the same time. But that is only possible if one takes an alternate path. Not a path that other very, very frazzled people are taking. Power hungry, people focused on their climb. But there is an alternate path where we can, every few steps of our climb, check to see if we're in good energy and we're not attracting, and that we are not attracting weird people. So important. And as we do this regular check, we continue to maintain our good fortune, because good fortune may or may not come with success, power, success. It may not come with that. And you know about a lot of powerful people. I mean, they're powerful, but they are in good fortune? No, I don't think so. So important that other things are kept in mind when one thinks of one's good fortune. And this check, regular check of where we are, is so important. And how do you know that? The air around us needs to be calm. Calm. We can feel it. Animals can feel it. And why can't we feel it? The air around us needs to be calm, peaceful. It can have entertainment. For example, the other day we went to a place where a lot of trees, and there was a wedding going on and full of drums and music and everything. So that's fine. That's celebration. That's celebration. So beauty, celebration, calm, good food, all of these things will show us if the energy around us is calm. See, when a person goes purely with power, purely by his power, Then, in order to keep that power, he needs to build more and more of it. He has to be stronger than everybody, than everyone, and has to keep growing his power in order to keep off the human wolves. Now, the real wolves in the jungles, they kind of hanging out in packs out there and doing their own thing, staying away from humans. But we're talking of human wolves that very powerful people can attract. And then, in order to fend off these human wolves, he has to become more powerful and more and more and more. But then, how do you know if ultimately a person is powerful enough to win all the time? And so that is why it's very important that even when we are climbing, and nobody says we shouldn't climb towards success, that even when we are climbing, we are keeping track of the energy around us and the people around us, and making sure we are not in frazzled, crazy energy. Because that energy has a life of its own. It does not listen to us. Try it. I mean, don't try it. Cancel, cancel, cancel. But you can see from other situations, well, you know what? Crazy energy, frazzled energy, competitive energy, revenge energy, power hungry energy does not listen to the people who are in it. First, the people want it. They want this kind of crazy power, so they go after it. And then they feel they have a control of it. They feel they can control it by being strong. But actually, the energy is the one that is controlling the people who are in it, because it has its own life. It does its own thing. So I'm trying to say here, well, what we're saying is, never think that we control this energy. If this energy is of a frazzled nature, populated with power mongers, is the energy that controls the people. This frazzled energy has been in place for centuries, thousands of years. It's a political energy. It is a frazzled energy. It's a high-powered energy, but it's not a high-vibration energy. It's high-powered, but it's not high vibration. In vibration, it is dark and dense. And it's been in existence for thousands and thousands of years. Then, how can a mere human, any mere human, think that he or she controls it? No, it controls the people in it. Because it's been alive. It's alive, and it's been in existence for thousands of years. Hence, very important for everybody here to know that good fortune is something that has peace and calm, happiness, celebration, joy in it. And it's not the joy of having champagne after one has won something against another competitor in the frazzled energy. That's not the joy we're talking of. We're talking of long-term joy, happy joy, joy, joy. And so while climbing, if one takes account of where one is, and if everything is fine, all is well, then we give the go-ahead sign and we climb again. Then take a break. And by a break, I mean a breather. You can still continue to work. but it's free from the push and pull. And then you can be successful and retain good fortune and not be controlled by energies that are frazzled, crazy, mad, power hungry, competitive, revengeful, drama filled, been in existence for thousands and thousands of years, ancient kings' times. You know what I mean? Goes back centuries. Goes back centuries. It's the energy that feeds itself and controls people, uses them as pawns. And in the Good Fortune Show, we just want people to know that we can be successful and at peace in the same time. And when we think of God's power, and we're not talking of God in a religious way, we're talking of the creation and abundance power, that we know that where God is, there is beauty every step of the way. Clean, fresh air, beautiful trees, gardens, peace, pure people, people with pure hearts, people who mean well towards each other, people who are not trying to win in a bad way. And then we know that this good fortune energy is going to bring back good fortune situations without arrows being hurled here and there, and all of the things that comes with very high energy drama. And again, there's a difference between high energy drama and high vibrations. The quality of energy is different. It may be more powerful, like in throbbing, but it's not of a peaceful and happy and calm nature. You know, we are approaching the end of a show, and we will be meeting again for the Joyful Manifestation Show next Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Until then, I just want you to watch what energy is going on. And if you're able to take a breather and check your energy space to see if all is well, confirm that all is well, and then continue your climb, keeping good fortune energy and joyful manifestation energy around you at all times. This is Sugandhi Iyer signing off for the Good Fortune Show and wishing you a wonderful rest of the week and a fantastic rest of the day.